We shall turn to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Our text is verse 2, but we shall read from the beginning of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul the Apostle declares his great objective. His aim was to see sinners brought into a state of peace and reconciliation with God. Paul is an ambassador for Christ. He is a worker together with God. He announces the grace of God, that Christ was made sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as God beseeches sinners to accept the reconciliation, Paul says, we also, as workers together with him, we also beseech you. And Paul beseeches sinners that they would not receive the grace of God in vain. Don't reject the grace of God revealed to you. Don't refuse Christ and so make the grace of God vain in regard to you. By rejecting Christ, what are you saying? You're saying that Christ died in vain. Instead, receive Christ and be reconciled to him, to God through him. And that is the call of the gospel. Be reconciled to God. Believe in Christ and be saved. Do you ask when is the right time? When is the best time to be saved? The answer is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. With some, it could be now or never. But for all of us, the accepted time is now, and the day of salvation is today. You may not hear the gospel preached another day. Now is the day to be seeking salvation. Now is the time, the acceptable time, to flee to Christ and be saved. And the Lord helping us this evening, we will consider first the accepted time, and secondly, the day of salvation. And thirdly, the immediate duty. The immediate duty. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's today. It's now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to seek the Lord with all your heart and flee to Christ instantly. Now, in your pew, this moment, come now. The accepted time, and then the day of salvation, and thirdly, the immediate duty. The immediate duty of coming to Christ for salvation. So first, the accepted time. In this passage, Paul is quoting the prophecy that we read, that chapter 49 of Isaiah. And this is a prophecy directed to the Messiah, Christ, who is yet to come. The portion of Scripture, of course, is using the language of the present. So Isaiah 49, verse 8 reads, Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. So clearly the words are addressed to Christ. Yes, he was still to come, but the language is in the present tense, as if it was already taking place. And so God appointed his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the mediator between God and men. God was giving him, appointing him for a covenant of the people, that those who believe in Christ would receive the promise of salvation through Christ, a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And that is according to God's promise made to Christ, to ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And so Christ will cause to inherit the desolate heritages, and that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Here is liberty for the captives. Here is the opening of the prison to those who are bound. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. What a beautiful promise for the New Testament church, the comfort, the joy that will be experienced for everyone who believes in Christ. So God appointed his own Son to do this work of mediation, to be a covenant for the people, to work out salvation, to purchase redemption for his people. And God promises to uphold his Son in this great work. The work that God appointed him to do, Jesus would do that work depending upon his Father for help, for assistance. And that is what God promises to his Son. This is what he declares in verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. So it is a time when God's salvation is being known, and it is a time when God upholds and strengthens his Son in the work. God hears his Son, God answers him. And we need to remember that when Jesus, the Son of God, was here in this world, all the work that he did was through dependence upon the Holy Spirit, God's promise of grace by the Spirit. And Jesus prayed to his Father continually. And even on the cross, you know that what he cried, and God heard his cry. And as the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews says, that he prayed to him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Yes, there was a time when Jesus experienced terrible isolation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But at length, God heard his cry and delivered him from death, and death ultimately, and raising him from the dead on the third day. So Jesus in his humanity depended upon the Father, and the Father heard him. That is what we read, that Jesus says, thou hearest me always. So this is the context. This is speaking of the time when Christ would come and God would be making known his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a time of favor for Christ. It was a time of favor and a day of salvation for his people. And this was and what Paul is emphasizing, back to our chapter, is that this is an acceptable time for sinners to believe in Christ for salvation. Paul is taking these words and applying them to sinners in need of salvation. So we read in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul is speaking of the accepted time, the day of salvation. And then he is himself, by inspiration, commenting on these words. So he's not quoting Isaiah 49 when he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. These are Paul's words. He's applying the truth that in the time of Christ, it's a time of favor and acceptance and grace. It's a day of salvation. Paul is saying, yes, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Apply this to yourself. You need this salvation. Come to Christ who has purchased salvation for sinners. Now is the time to be saved. Yes, Paul is setting before us God's salvation. God's salvation. And those who have come to Christ for salvation, they have experienced God's grace. It's a time of favor, a time of grace. You might be asking, have I received grace? Am I one of his people? This is a question I long to know, says John Newton. Am I his or am I no? Well, we mentioned last Sabbath evening the various marks of grace, and there are many marks of grace. Those who have come to Christ, Christ is precious to them. Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And so if Christ is truly precious, we see his suitability and his sufficiency, and our hearts go after him, then we know that we have believed in him, and if we have believed in him, we're saved. Someone still might say, well, how do I know that Christ is precious to me? How do I know that what I believe to see his preciousness, that it is valid and true? Well, we can test it. If Christ is precious to us, there's something that's going to be exceedingly bitter to us, and that is sin. We'll see the loathsome nature of sin. We mentioned the four lowest marks of grace, and to simplify those marks, we can begin with the sight of sin, sight and sense of the evil and mischievous nature of sin. Do you have light to see the evil and mischievous nature of sin? The sight of sin, if you really see that, you really feel that, it's because there's grace in you. But you can't say you're a believer in Christ if you don't see that, if you don't feel that. That's the lowest mark of grace. And there's also with it a settled purpose to leave sin. Sight of sin, settled purpose to leave sin and cleave to God. And if you don't feel that and sense that, you cannot conclude that you're a child of God. So there's a sight of sin, there is a settled purpose to leave sin and cleave to God. But also there is, as Christopher Love puts it in his book about grace and weak grace, strong grace, he says, one of the lowest marks of grace is the complaint of the lack of grace. God's people are sometimes complaining their little grace. How few are the fruits, how the grace is so weak and so small. Complaint of lack of grace, but also with it there's the desire for more grace. Do you desire more grace? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, these are marks to examine ourselves by for the encouragement of weak and doubting believers. Is there a broken heart for sin? That's a good evidence. Not remorse merely, not just regret, but a sadness and pricks of conscience. Oh, I wish I had never done that. No. Contrition, godly sorrow. There was a, if I remember the story correctly, a person who was concerned about something. He or she was reading that in heaven there are no more tears. And there was some hesitancy on the part of this person. The person went to the minister and said, I'm concerned about this because I feel like tears are a good thing. Well, now, the minister said, let's talk about this. When is it that you have these tears? Well, when I'm grieving over my sins. What is it about those tears that make you think it's a good thing? Well, because when I'm weeping over my sins, I'm looking to the Savior and looking on him whom I have pierced, and I'm mourning over him. And what about that? Well, there's some sweetness in that experience. I don't want to lose the sweetness of looking through teary eyes to the precious Savior as I'm mourning over sin. Well, yes, believers can conclude there is sweetness in repentance because those tears and sorrow are evidences of forgiveness. There's even the assurance of pardon in godly sorrow. But of course, in heaven, there's no tears, but all the sweetness and joy that was found in repentance will remain. Go on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Well, these are just a few evidences of those who have truly come to Christ. For them, it was indeed in the experience of their souls, a time of grace, a day of salvation. Well, going back more closely to the words of our text, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we're thinking about the accepted time. And there's two ways to look at these words, accepted time. One, that it is a time of acceptance. And two, it is an acceptable time. One, it's a time of favor. And the other way is it is a favorable time. I'll try to explain it. For the foundation of it all is that it's a time of favor. It's a time of grace. Yes, parallel to that is it's a day of salvation. A time of grace, a day of salvation. And that is what was spoken to Christ in Isaiah 49, in an acceptable time. Have I heard thee? And literally it is in a time of favor have I heard thee. And so it is parallel to the words, in a day of salvation have I helped thee. Now remember that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, after that, after he was tempted by the devil, he went to the synagogue in Nazareth and he read the scroll of Isaiah, these words which are found in chapter 61. I'll read it from Luke. Chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is reading the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And these words, of course, are found in Isaiah chapter 61. So I'll just read those words, just some of them. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and so on. And the words are, in chapter 61, the same as in chapter 49. It is the acceptable year of the Lord, the accepted time. Literally, it is a time of favor. It is a year of favor. And that's actually going back further and alluding to the year of Jubilee, which was a time of liberty. So it's speaking of the year of favor, the time of favor. This is a time of grace. It is indeed the appointed time in which Christ has come to work out salvation. And what is that? It's grace. This is what Paul is saying. Receive not the grace of God in vain, because what's revealed in the gospel is God's grace. God sending his Son in love and grace to suffer and die for sinners, that's manifesting the grace of God. This is a year of favor. It's a time of grace. Receive this grace. Receive not the grace of God in vain. But you see, since it is a time of grace, it's also an acceptable time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time when grace is manifest. This is the era in which Christ has come. It's the dispensation in which grace is offered. That makes it an acceptable time. So the fact that it's a time of favor, a time when God's grace is known, that in itself makes it a favorable time. It's a good time. It's an opportune time. Yes, it's the right time. to receive God's grace. It's a time of grace. It's a gracious time. A time of favor, a time when God's favor and grace and love are revealed to you. That means it's an opportune time, an acceptable time. It's a favorable time for you, friend, to receive God's grace, to receive salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It means that it will not always be an acceptable time, will not always be a favorable time. And that means you should receive God's grace now, because now is the day of salvation. So don't let this opportunity go by without being saved. If you want to be saved from wrath, remember that now is the acceptable time. Now's the right time. When the gospel is preached, yes, that's a suitable time. It's the acceptable time. 4,000 years went by before Christ came into the world, and many nations were passed by. Only Israel had the truth. Only Israel had the knowledge of God for salvation. But then when Christ came, the gospel was preached to every creature. It was a time of favor. It was a favorable time for them to be saved, because the grace of God was preached to them. The grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It appeared to them in the preaching of the gospel. It was a time of favor when, even for the Jews, when the gospel was preached to them and Christ preached to them, but his own people in Nazareth rejected him. The Jews crucified him, but still the gospel was preached to them. It was a time of favor. It was an acceptable time. But they, many of them, received the grace of God in vain. They thought it was a stumbling block to them to think that their Messiah would be crucified. They couldn't accept that. And so they received God's grace in vain. They treated it as a vain, empty, meaningless thing. He was despised and rejected of men. That's the context in Isaiah 49. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth. The Jewish nation abhorred him. They rejected him. They crucified him. What think ye of Christ? Will you reject him? Will you crucify him in your heart? Will you say that God's grace was vain? Oh, receive not the grace of God in vain. Jesus commissioned his disciples to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's the great ultimatum. You've heard the gospel. The gospel is preached to you. If you come to Jesus, you're saved. But if you don't, you are lost forever. Oh, but receive the good news. Yes, it's a time of favor, a time of grace. When St. Patrick, as he is known, went to Ireland, a heathen nation, committing idolatry and uncleanness, but through the preaching of Patrick, the nation was transformed. It was a time of favor for them. It was a favorable time, and they made use of it. We're not saying that every one of them was converted, but the nation was Christianized. It was a day of grace. What about yourself? Is this not a favorable time for you? Is there not the opportunity to receive grace? Is it not the time in which to receive Christ? It is indeed. When is it a good time? Well, the Sabbath day is an acceptable time to seek the salvation of your soul. God has given you one whole day in seven to seek him with all your heart, so that you don't have to be distracted with earthly matters. You can devote yourself to seeking Christ as the one thing needful. Young people especially, they don't have the cares that mothers and fathers have. Some of them may be looking after their siblings and helping a little, but you can give all your attention to seeking the Lord, meditating on the promises, thinking about your sins and past sins, present sins, the great sin of unbelief, and pray for forgiveness for all your sins, and pray, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great, and the greatness of your sins urges you to seek forgiveness from the God of all grace by the blood of Christ. Yes, friend, you have the whole day in public and private to seek the Lord so that you can pray to him, you can hear his word and read his word. Spend time, not for just half an hour, as it were, seeking the Lord, but half a day. Yes, I said it. Give the whole day to seeking salvation. Focus upon his precious promises. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, it's an accepted time. It's an opportune time. Behold, now is the accepted time. The preaching of the word is a very special occasion in which grace and salvation may be obtained. You're hearing the word of God this moment. Now's the time to receive the word of God. To receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, as Paul said, the word of God, which effectually works in them that believe. Now is the time to make the most of what is called the lively preaching of the gospel. If you died tomorrow without Christ, what are you going to say to yourself? What would you say? You would say, if I had only listened more carefully, if I had only acted upon what I was told, when I was told that now is the accepted time, but I wasted that time. Is that how you're going to respond in eternity? Yes, God was pleased to institute the preaching of the word as the means of conversion. It pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But are we making the most of it? Are we making the most of it? A time of conviction is an accepted time. When you're more awakened regarding the demands of God's law, when the law is becoming more real to you, like Paul, and you're saying the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment became more real in its extent, what it requires, the breadth of the commandment. Thy commandment is exceeding broad. It covers so much more than I realize. My thoughts, words, actions, my feelings, my opinions, my purposes, my views, my rejection of Christ. The law came, sin revived and I died. I'm condemned. I'm lost. Well, now, this is a special time in your experience. It is incumbent upon you to seek the Lord, to flee to Christ from the wrath to come that has been made real to you. You have been treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Now is the accepted time, the suitable time, when the Holy Spirit is convincing you, convicting you, striving with you. And these convictions should impel you to come to Christ for salvation. When you're impressed with the truth, you receive a little more light, perhaps even impressed with the joy that is in heaven. The angels are praising God. God's people are full of comfort and peace. There's endless blessedness. There's joy unspeakable. And you're greatly impressed with that. That's the time to be seeking Christ so that you can have those joys for yourself. Perhaps you're at times impressed with the great reality of divine things, eternity, heaven, hell. These things are real to you. Well, that's the time to be pressing into the kingdom, pressing, striving, pushing at the doors of the kingdom so that you can enter in. Yes, this is a time when it may be said of you, you are not far. You're not far from the kingdom of God. How then can you spurn this moment? How can you pass by this suitable time? Now's the accepted time. Now this moment. Even if none of these experiences you had, you were not conscious of any of these things I just mentioned, it would still be the accepted time. The time of favor. Yes, God is showing you favor by revealing the gospel to you, by offering Christ to you. That's favor. It's kindness that he's showing you, and he's not showing others. Darkened nations enslaved by Islam, for example, or Hinduism, the gospel is not being preached to them like it is to people like you and me. It is a time of favor, the accepted time. Behold, now is the accepted time. But also, it's the day of salvation. In the second place, the day of salvation. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The grace of God in the salvation of sinners is revealed to you. And this is grace that must be received. This is grace that must be responded to. Christ is offered to you. What is your reaction? How do you respond to the gospel? Will you reject it and be lost? Or will you receive it and be saved? God deals with us as rational and responsible beings. We are not machines. We have to answer to God. We have to give an account, not only of how we preach, but of how we hear. What is your response to the gospel call? Come to Christ and be saved. This is a day of salvation. This means that sinners need to be saved. You and I need to be saved from eternal punishment. The wrath of God, which is revealed from heaven to sinners like you and me, it's revealed in the Word of God, in our consciences, even by human history. God's wrath and curse are revealed. People in heathen lands have offered up sacrifice for centuries, a testimony to the fact that God is just. God is angry with the wicked every day. And we need to be saved from the wrath and anger of God that we deserve. God is not furious. God's wrath is not uncontrollable. The wrath of God is the effect of his justice. God is just and holy. He will condemn and punish sinners. And that punishment is his wrath. Nothing can take away from the blessedness of God. But when sinners are suffering in hellfire, they are suffering his wrath. And he's warning you to flee from the wrath to come. Escape for your life. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to run to Christ for safety. And this salvation is not only deliverance from the greatest of all evils, but it is to experience the greatest of all blessedness. God saves you from eternal depths of woe and sorrow to bring you into the enjoyment of the highest happiness. And now is the day of salvation. This is the time and the day, the period in which you can receive salvation. It's not going to be after you die that then you can receive salvation. It must be now. It must be today. It must be when you're breathing and you're hearing and you're hearing the gospel preached to you. That's the time. That's the day. And it's today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God is calling men everywhere to repent. Again, emphasizing our responsibility before God. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But there's hope. There's salvation. He is calling you. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what the gospel is inviting you to, and calling you to enjoy forgiveness, blessedness, grace, liberty, peace. It's all bound up in Christ, and Christ is offered to you freely. God promises in his gospel that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What a blessed promise. If I can say so, it's one of my favorite promises. Yes, even one who's been professing for 2 decades, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Not condemned. Oh, what precious gospel promises. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." This moment you possess everlasting life if you believe in Christ, and shall not come into condemnation. You don't have to worry about being cast off into hell. Shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Life. You've passed from death to life the moment you believe in Christ. Isn't that a great encouragement to believe in Jesus, that the very instant you believe, you are saved. Saved. Pardoned. Accepted. Justified, because he hath made him to be sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. God's own righteousness covers you. A righteousness of infinite value and worth. Covering you, poor sinner, so that you'll always be accepted and never cast off. Oh, look to him. Pray for a saving view of him. Go to him. Don't wait till you're moved by the Spirit to come to him. Come. Come to him. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. See the Lord Jesus going about to fulfill the law. All those commandments, all 10 of them, in all of its branches and variations, in the way it's revealed, and as far as what the commandment reaches towards, he kept all the commandments. He didn't break one of them, never in his life. And he kept all those commandments for sinners like you, to work out a righteousness to cover you. Look to him who bled and died on the cross with outstretched arms, pierced in his hands and feet, and taking in all the fiery wrath of God for sinners like you. Yes, for when we were yet without strength, we had no strength at all. We were nothing but weakness, impotent, lost. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, the ungodly. Those who are guilty of blasphemy, those who are guilty of all kinds of sin, he died for them. He purchased forgiveness for them, for sinners like you. This is grace. This is wonderful salvation. Friend, this is good news. It's good. It's good for you. It's good for me. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's good. It's nothing but good. And this salvation and this grace is offered to you freely, as I've said before, as if you were the only one I preach to in this room. Just as we said earlier today, God says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Thou and thy son and daughter and so on. You must keep the Sabbath day holy, as if there were no one else in this room. God is speaking to you. And Christ is speaking to you, and God is speaking through his servants to you, as if there were no one else in this church building, that you would flee to Christ, that you would come to Jesus for salvation. This Savior is offered to you. This Savior is your Savior in the gospel. If you come to him, if you believe in him, he will be your Savior in possession, in actual fact. But the truth is, he's your Savior in the gospel call, because there's no other Savior for you. None else. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you fail to come to him, you will be lost. But, friend, you will never be able to say that you were not saved because there was no Savior for you. There is a Savior for you. His name is Jesus, your Savior. Will you receive him? Now is the time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whatever your experience, whatever you have not experienced, on the authority of God's word, I say to you, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You are hearing the word of God now. You're on the ground of mercy this moment. Now is the time to come to Christ. Not later, but now. So we come in the third place to consider the immediate duty. Why do I say immediate duty? Because this is what the Bible says. And he's calling our attention. He says, behold, twice. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you not know what behold means? Literally, it's look. We don't often say look, but we do say look when we want to look at something physical, something substantial. But when we're making a point, sometimes we say look. But often we say attention. And that's perhaps the best English equivalent. Attention. Now is the accepted time. Attention, folks. Listen carefully. Listen up. Now is the day of salvation. Did you know that? Today. Now. If I was speaking to people in a large crowd who never heard the gospel, what would I say? But I say, behold, they wouldn't know what I'm saying. I would say, attention! Attention, everyone! Now is the day of salvation. Half of them wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Saved from what? But you know what I'm talking about. You need to be saved from wrath. You need to be saved from hell. You need to be saved now. And he also says now, the word now twice, at present. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is there not repetition, but it's wonderful, solemn repetition, which means that we are all the more inexcusable for not seeking salvation with all our heart now. Now is the accepted time. You say, but I thought I could wait till I grow up or get a job and get settled. Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Don't wait. It's not later, it's now. When will you understand that now means now? Friends, it's heartbreaking because I can say this like this, and half of you will go away thinking tomorrow, thinking next Sabbath, thinking when I grow up, and you'll forget what you've heard. I trust some won't. If you are under God's wrath this moment, there is not one moment in which it is not the time to be saved. Every moment you need to be saved. Every moment, at least very often, you should be crying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me by Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Lord, forgive my sins by his precious blood. O Lord, give me a new heart. Lord, show me my sin, my wickedness. Show me that I have offended thee. And Lord, show me that there is forgiveness by thy blood. Show me, Lord. Show me thy grace. Show me thy face. I need to be saved. I must be saved. The gospel does not admit of delay. The gospel never tells you that you don't have to worry about seeking salvation while you're in a state of nature. You can never say, I'll seek the Lord when I get more time. Is this the way to treat the eternal welfare of your soul? To follow the example of Felix, who said, go thy way, Paul. I'll call you back when I have a more convenient season, when it's a better time for me. How dangerous. How dangerous you might be. Distracted by many things. Perhaps you're seeking employment, or you're hoping to get married. Or you say, I'm raising a family and I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm very busy in my life. God does not give you a respite from the duty of seeking salvation, because every moment you're accountable before God. The only safe place is in the arms of Christ. The only safety offered to you is Jesus Christ crucified. Besides, if you treat God's salvation this way, you're saying these other things are the one thing needful, but Jesus is not the one thing needful. How dare you say that to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, thou art not the one thing needful. How darest? Treating God's grace as vain. Oh, but what about the false hope, the false security? There are teenagers in this room, perhaps, and they're saying, well, I know most people get converted when they're in their 20s. I'm not there yet, so I don't need to be too worried. It's a false refuge. Others say, well, I'm a very healthy person. But what gets me is when people can't think so clearly and they're very distracted by old age. But as soon as I feel that coming on, then I'll seek the Lord. Others are saying, but I go to church and I say all my prayers. And I have good parents, and they're praying for me all the time. I don't have too much to worry about. Wrong. It's a false refuge. These things are no substitute for Christ. These are good things. The means of grace are good, and we should use them diligently. We should be thankful that we have good parents that pray for us. But our parents can't save us. Your parents cannot save you. The elder cannot save you. The minister cannot save you. The Sabbath school teacher cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. And if you're trusting in these things, you're leaning on a broken reed. You're trusting in a refuge that is false, that will crumble with the strong wind. And we know that Hurricane Ian came through Florida and decimated homes and blew away piers and buildings. But, friend, if your hope is not Christ and you're relying upon any of these things, the moment death comes, it will be ruin and loss forever. And this false security will collapse with the wind, and the storm will sweep away the refuge of lies. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything else, if leaned to and depended upon, is a lie. You must have Christ, or you're lost, swept away into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, the second death. You cannot procrastinate and think that you will win. Some people procrastinate. It's a very solemn thing to procrastinate regarding our souls. I say that to the Lord's people too. You know that there's a duty and you procrastinate, you endanger yourself. But Those who are on the way to a lost eternity, procrastinating may be eternally fatal. To suffer loss, endless loss. And who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? How can you dare put off seeking salvation when you're in danger of suffering indescribable torments, horrors of conscience without end, and the loss, the blackness of darkness forever, banished from all comfort and joy, separated from good parents and isolated to all eternity from your dear friends? If you see your friends in hell, it will be a torment to you. Will you say, but I will get serious. I assure you, minister, I will get serious. You will. When? Now is the time. The word of God does not say, wait till you get home. Wait till you get to your room. In your pew now, this moment, while you are hearing the word of God, now seek him. Now come to him. We have heard of teenagers who slipped on the floor and hit their head and died. We've heard of a 10-year-old in a tree who fell and died. We have heard of 8 people in a passenger minivan who hit an oncoming truck and died. And we may die tonight or tomorrow. It may be sooner than we realize. And if we do not come to Christ, then it will be too late for us. And what I am about to say may be the most solemn thing that I have to say this evening. That a time will come when there will be no more offers of salvation. When the ark was being built, Noah and his family were safe, but there was the possibility of others being saved from the flood too, but no one else came, and just before the rain came, the door was shut. God closed the door. Then there was no more hope. You don't come to Christ and you die without Christ, the moment you die, the door is shut. When my family and I lived in Scotland, in Northton, it was about an hour and a half drive from Stornoway. Well, our child needed to go to the hospital because of epilepsy. And the hospital in Stornoway didn't have the facilities, at least not sufficient, so we had to fly to Glasgow. Well, the morning that the flight was going to depart, we were running late. We had to go back and get something from the house. And so there was all the stress and pressure to get to the airport on time. When we arrived, we were told that the captain had shut the door of the plane. And so we explained, but our child has epilepsy, and we have an appointment in Glasgow. We have to get there. And so, with no doubt great reluctance, the captain opened the door of the plane. And that was an amazing thing. Apparently, it never happens. The captain actually opened the door for us after it was closed, and we could get on the plane, and we went to Glasgow. What a relief. Apparently, a rare exception. There are no rare exceptions on the judgment day. The door is shut and it stays shut. The door is closed and it remains that way. As the tree falls, there it lies. And there's no other hope past death for those who die without Christ. Jesus said, "Except ye believe in me, ye shall die in your sins." Oh, friend. Think of it. On the judgment day for the lost, there's not going to be any sweet entreaties. No, the door of salvation is shut, and you will be ushered, if you die without Christ, you'll be ushered into the gates of hell. and speaking with all reverence, God will not care. Because he tells us in his word, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Oh, let this load your conscience with the guilt of rejecting Christ and saying that the grace of God is vain, that it would load your conscience with the guilt of unbelief and rejecting Christ and flee to him. You should feel the pressure, feel the load. May all of this drive you to Christ. That Satan would not have his way. That you, dear friend, would be plucked as a brand out of the fire. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. God will save. He makes bare his holy arm. He has got the victory. He has bruised Satan, and he will triumph, and he will triumph by precious souls like you being gathered to Christ, gathered into the arms of Jesus. Will you not flee to him? Will there not be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth? Come to him. Come into his arms, rest upon the Lord Jesus alone. And those who come to him will find peace. God is love. He tells you in the gospel, fury is not in me. He reveals the threats of the law to awaken you. But he calls sinners with such pity and gracious condescension, entreating them to come. And when you come, you'll not be cast out. You'll have peace and joy forever. Can you say, thou my sure portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord? Do you feel that at times? How thankful you should be that he drew you with cords of love. Yes, he drew you to Christ, and you heard him in an acceptable time, a year of favor. And it was a jubilee for you. By grace, you believed in Christ. He heard your cry and he answered you. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And you, child of God, the Lord will perform all things for you. As you continue in the Christian life and you struggle in that warfare, God promises to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, enable us to draw nigh to thee by the blood of Jesus. Oh, that we would be thankful for the gracious gospel call. Hear, O Lord, we pray, our cries. Oh, that we would hear thy voice and come, and that thou wouldst hear our poor, pitiful cries for salvation. As Peter cried from the depths of his soul, Lord, save me. O Lord, save us, or we perish. Be with us now. Bless thy truth. Bless the gospel. Help us to cast all our care upon thee and forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.